Third parak of Avos, Mishnah Vav. Rabbi Nachman ben Akana Omer, Kol makabel alav ol Torah, ma'avirin mimenu ol malchus ve'ol derech eretz. Rabbi Nachman ben Akana said, whoever accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah will have removed from him the yoke of government, the yoke of derech eretz, and most understand that to mean parnosa. But if someone takes off from himself the yoke of Torah, then the yoke of the government and derech eretz is put upon him. Rabbi Yehuda in his commentary explains that if a person makes his Torah ikar umalachto arai, this is not talking about a person who necessarily says, I'm going to learn Torah exclusively to all other endeavors. Rabbi Yehuda applies it more broad. Mekabel of ol Torah means I'm going to make my Torah the ikar and my malacha arai. The Torah is going to be the ikar by me and any other work will be secondary. HaKadosh Baruch will watch over him that he shouldn't have to lose the time that he has to learn Torah. And the king will not think to draft him into his service and his parnasa will come to him in the time that he has allotted for it and he will not have to mavatal his learning for that. But if a person takes off himself the burden of Torah, then he will come to the attention of the government and he will have to work extra hard for parnasa. That's how Rabbeinu Yoina explains it. There are others who want to say the Mishnah is talking, and more specifically, of someone who accepts upon himself the responsibilities of learning Torah and nothing else, then the Ibn Hashem will watch over him. But if a person doesn't, then he will be responsible for all kinds of other things. But Rabbeinu Yoina expands it to anyone who recognizes the primacy of Torah. When it says a person should make Torah so ikar malachto aroi, that's not talking in terms of hours. Torah ikar malacha aroi doesn't mean you spend more hours learning Torah than malacha. It could mean that, but it doesn't have to mean that. Torah ikar means this is the most important thing of my day. This is the most important thing in my life. This is what everything else revolves around. He may be working 9 hours a day and only learning 2 or 3 hours a day. But for him, those 2 or 3 hours are the most important part of his day. That is also Torah se'ikr u'malachto arai. And what the Mishnah is saying is that if a person is a makabel on himself, accepts upon himself the oil of Torah, so then he won't have to worry about other things that will interfere with his learning. The Sefer Keser Roish is a collection of writings of Chaim Volozhin, and often he would quote his Rebbe de Vilna Gaon. And in the Keser Roish, in the discussion of Talmud Torah, it says that this is something tried and tested. If a person wakes up in the morning and accepts upon himself for that day, Oil Torah Be'emes U'Belev Tamim, he gets up that day and he accepts upon himself for that day the yoke of Torah truthfully and sincerely. What does that mean? Sheyigma belibo shliyishma l'shum davar. He makes up his mind not to pay attention to anything else. Nothing that comes his way will disturb him or distract him. Then distractions and disturbances will stay away from him. And he'll succeed that day in his learning. And according to the degree of his Kabbalah in the morning, and according to the strength of his determination, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him proportionately on that day. So there's a tremendous chiddush here. What Chaim Volozhin is saying is that this isn't necessarily a lifetime decision. Mekabel of Ol Torah, Ma'avirim and Ol Derech Eretz and Ol Malchus. It could be a daily thing, every single day. Get up in the morning, is today going to be a day when I'm a Mekabel Ol Torah or not? And to the degree that a person accepts upon himself that this day should be a day of Kabbalas Ol Torah, to that degree, he won't have distractions. And the less, the less. And that's how he explains this concept of the Mishnah. He goes on to say, they bring in the notes that the Chaim Volozhin wrote in his Nefesh HaChaim, that the Torah was given in a midbar. Klai Yisrael received the Torah in the wilderness. And the Medrash explains, why was the Torah given in a midbar? Because in a midbar, you don't plant. In a midbar, you don't plow. in a midbar you don't harvest, there's no work. So too, if you're makabel ol teira, you won't have to worry about plowing and planting. And in a midbar, there's no taxes. You don't pay tax in the midbar. So too, b'nei teira are going to be free of certain taxes. So that's what's hinted to the fact that the Torah is given in the midbar. But ultimately, it depends on the degree of your commitment and the degree of your resolve on a daily basis. Now, it was brought in the time of the First World War to the Chafetz Chaim the question that there are many B'nai Yeshivas that are being drafted into the army. And if the Mishnah says, you're Mekabel Ol Teira, Mavir Min Ol Malchus, so why are they being drafted into the army? So the Chafetz Chaim's answer was, evidently, their Kabbalas Ol Teira was lacking. If they would have had a complete Kabbalas Ol Teira, they wouldn't have been drafted in the army, because they didn't have a complete Kabbalas Ol Teira, they were drafted in the army. It's hard for us to understand exactly what that means. What is the real Kabbalas Ol Teira? What is lacking in Kabbalas Ol Teira? But one thing for sure we know, that if a person is determined to ignore what's going on around him, to take time to learn, whether it's 2 hours or 3 hours a day, whether it's full-time learning in Kol, whatever the case may be, if he makes the determination not to be distracted and not to do other things during that time, then the Ibn Hashem will help him to succeed during that time that he has dedicated to his learning. Now, the wording of the Mishnah is that you're mekabel the Ol Teira. It doesn't say that you're mekabel to be oisik b'Teira. It doesn't say you accept upon yourself to engage in Torah study. It says you accept upon yourself the yoke of Torah. What is the difference between learning and the oil? What's intended by this concept of the yoke of learning? And I've seen it brought that learning is one madrega. The yoke of Torah is a whole different madrega. Noach learned Torah. Rashi is in Chumash. Noach learned Torah. How do you know Noach learned Torah? Because the pasuk says that from the kosher animals, behemoth tahira, you take seven of a kind, and behemoth tameya, you take two of a kind on the teva. How did Noach know which was tahara, which was tame? So Rashi says he learned Torah. He had to learn Torah. If he learned Torah, he knew the difference, which was tahara, which was tame. Noach was oisik b'tahara. But the Svarim say he wasn't the kabbal, the oil of Torah. Avraham Avinu was also oisik b'tahara. Avraham Avinu learned Torah. Avraham Avinu learned Torah. The Gemara says he had a yeshiva. He taught Torah. But when it came to Avraham Avinu leaving Charan to Eretz Canaan, the pasuk says he took with him hanefesh asher osu b'Charan. He took the people that he made in Charan. And Rashi says it means these are people that he was Makarev, he was Megayer. Others say it means those he acquired. Rashi makes two lashonos, two thoughts. But if you look in the Targum says these are people, the Shabidu Araisa. These are people that he made subservient to the Torah. Meaning to say, for Avraham Avinu, it wasn't just about learning Torah. It was accepting the yoke of Torah, the yoke of Malchus Shemayim, and the people that he came in contact with, the people that he brought close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't just teach them Torah. He made them subservient to Torah. Many times we have opportunities to learn Torah with people who are distant from Judaism. It's one thing to learn Torah with them. It's another thing to make them practicing Jews. To shabidul araisa, to accept the burden, the yoke of Torah. It's a whole different concept. And in contrasting Avraham Avinu and Noach, essentially, Noach learned Torah, but he didn't feel it was his responsibility to bring others under the yoke of Torah. Avraham Avinu did. That could be the understanding of oil of Torah. Be mekabel the oil of Torah means I'm going to learn Torah, I'm going to be subservient to Torah, and I'm going to bring others to be subservient to Torah. So it boils down to a concept that the Rambam says very succinctly, and almost you can miss it entirely if you don't look. The Rambam says the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is lilmod ulalamda. It's to learn and to teach. The Rambam doesn't say it's a mitzvah to learn by itself. To learn and to teach. Most others would say it's two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah, there's a mitzvah to teach Torah. The Rambam puts it into one. Learning Torah is to teach Torah. To learn Torah and not teach Torah is lacking in the learning of Torah. And that could also be the pshat in old Torah. That it's not enough simply for me to learn on my own, but rather I want to share this, I want to influence others through it, and that's all part of old Torah. You know, there's a Mishnah, Haloimed Amanas Lilamed, must speak in Biyado Lilmod Lilamed. Haloimed Amanas Lasos, must speak in Biyado Lilmod Lilamed Lishmur Lasos, right? If a person learns with the intent of being able to teach, he will learn and he will teach. If a person learns with intent of doing, then he will learn, he will teach, and he will do as well. Isn't the Mishnah missing a line? Halomed, amanas, lilmod. A person learns for the sake of learning. What happens then? The only two choices in the Mishnah is learning on the condition of teaching, in which case he'll be able to learn and teach. And the second option is learning to do, in which case you'll learn and you'll teach and you'll do. What happens to learning just for learning? Halomid amanas lilmoid. What then? There is no option in the Mishnah. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Rav Shiva Zichron Livracha said, because it doesn't exist. If a person learns just to learn, that's not learning. That's not Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is lilmoid ulalamid. Lilmoid alone is insufficient. Lilmoid ulalamid is the bare minimum of limud. So, along with learning Torah, comes the responsibility of perpetuating Torah, making sure Torah isn't lost. If a person learns by himself, so he could be very scholarly, and that's the end of it. Who's going to make sure the next generation knows how to learn anything? Who makes sure that Torah is perpetuated? That's old Torah. Old Torah is that I'm going to make sure that Torah has continuity. I'm going to make sure that I share what I know. I make sure others will learn and do and share as well. I think all of that is included in the concept of old Torah. That it's not just a makabel love to have a good Seder that day. Makabel love to learn a daf yomi. Love to go to, you know, to learn whatever amount. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. It's makabel old Torah. There's a yoke. There's a responsibility. There's an achrayus. There's a shibud. There's a subservience. And there's a responsibility that goes with it. That I'm going to learn, I'm going to influence others, I'm going to keep the Torah alive in Klal Yisrael. I think all of that is indicated in this concept. And again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it doesn't mean you have to make this a lifelong endeavor to the exclusion of anything else. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, this is someone who works, someone who supports his family, but he also learns. You have to learn. The question is, are you mekabel ol Torah for the time that you have to make your Torah ikar? And if a person has a complete commitment to that, so then his old Torah will prevent old machas and old deres from getting in the way. Perhaps, there's no way for me to know this, perhaps that's what the Chavetz Chaim meant. Maybe there are people who are learning in yeshivas who were drafted in the army in World War I, they came to Chavetz Chaim, how could this be? And he said there's not enough Kabbalah's old Torah. Maybe he meant learning, yes, they're committed to learning, but maybe they weren't committed to the oil of Torah. Maybe they weren't committed to spreading Torah, to teaching Torah, to being others close to Torah. Maybe that was lacking. I don't know. I don't know for sure. But I just think in the definition of old Torah means a lot more than just Esek HaTorah. It doesn't just mean learning and studying Torah. It's a burden, it's a yoke, it's a responsibility that it takes upon himself. We know that the minhag is to read Sefer Rus on Shavuos. And many discuss why. What is the connection of Rus to Shavuos? And there are some that associate it with David HaMelech. David HaMelech was born and died on Shavuos. And since Rus is his ancestor, so it's appropriate to read Rus on Shavuos. Some say it has to do with Chesed. The Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni says, to me, a very difficult idea. The reason why we read Rus on Shavuos is because Shavuos is the time of Kabbalah Satara. And you have to know that Kabbalah Satara comes with Yisurin, with Oni, with Anius. Kabbalah Satara comes with poverty, suffering. That's hand in hand with Kabbalah Satara. So when you come to this mountain of Kabbalah Satara, read Rus. Read about her travails. Read about her suffering. Rus came to Eretz Yisrael. She was a widow. She was a geiris. These are the lowest levels of society. She was impoverished. And she embraced Torah. She embraced Yahadus. So we have to know this is the way of Kabbalah Satara. And I find it very difficult. Because if you're trying to sell somebody a product, you make it as beautiful and sweet as possible. And if we take a child and we want him to start learning as upsharon, we put candies or honey by the aleph bays letters, and he says the aleph bays, and he gets a candy for every letter he says, to make Torah sweet. He should associate aleph bays with sweet things, with fun things. That's how you sell something. You sell something, it's got to be sweet, it's got to be fun, it's got to be geschmack. How do you say, let's read Rus, Shavuos time, because Rus suffered, and that's what goes into Kabbalah Satara? Is that going to convince anyone to Mekabel Torah? We're going to go to the Yontif of Shavuos, and we're going to renew a Kabbalah Satara, because every year, the Zman, the time of the year, has in it the same koichus as it had originally. So if this time of year, leading up to Matan Torah, so we have the same koichus and the same Kabbalah and all the yeshivas, the tashim, the bachrim, that this is the Zman to Mekabel Torah. That's why we stay up all night to learn Torah. Many people have a meaning like that. So make sure you know that it comes with suffering. Make sure that poverty is the way to go. It's very hard to understand that. If you look in Chumash, we know that in Parashas Yisrael, the Ibn Hashem tells Moshe Beinu to tell Bnei Yisrael about the Torah before they accept it. Kosomar le Beis Yaakov, v'saga le Bnei Yisrael. Tell Beis Yaakov, tell Bnei Yisrael, Rashi says. Beis Yaakov refers to the women. I got it backwards? Yeah, that's the women, right? Kosomar. Somar is a nice lashon, a softer lashon, a softer language. That's what you tell to the women. Beis Yaakov are the women, lashon racha. And Tagid Bnei Yisrael, Rashi says, the punishments you tell to the men, things that are difficult and hard. So Bnei Yisrael was told in advance, there are some things they have to know about Torah before they're mekabel it. And we know that they're mekabel with an Aseh V'Nishma, and we know that we have a Yontif. But what convinced them, so to speak? So you'll say, well, they weren't convinced. Hashem had to hold the mountain over their heads. Kofleim harkegigas. Maybe they weren't so happy about being mekabel the Torah at the time. And then they asked a question. Well, they said Aseh V'Nishma. So he said Aseh V'Nishma. Why have to hold the mountain over their heads? So there are many different answers to explain that. Maybe one's Torah Shebech Sav, one's Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebech Sav is an Aseh V'Nishma. Torah Shebal Peh, they had to hold the mountain over their heads. Or there are other explanations for that. But there's a fascinating point that I think all of us have to know, and Rav Shmuel Zalman Vach explained this, and it really becomes very crystal clear. The Pasuk says, Kosama le Beis Yaakov v'saga le Bnei Yisrael. Tell Beis Yaakov, tell the women, instruct the men. Atem re'isem asher asisi le Mitzrayim. You saw with your eyes what I did in Mitzrayim. Ve'ese eschem al kanfin esharim. I lifted you up on the wings of eagles. Ve'avi eschem elayin, I brought you to me. Ve'atem now m'shamor teshvu b'koli, if you listen to my voice, u'shmartem es b'si, and guard my covenant. Ve'hayisem li segulim mekol ha'amim, you will be for me a treasure and dear from all the nations. Hili kol ha'aretz, because all the land is mine. Ve'atem tiyuli malachas kohanim goy kadosh, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is what Moshe told to Bnei Yisrael from Yerusha. So what does the Ibn Hashem say? The first thing, simple pshat and pasuk. Tell the women, tell the men. You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. And I took you on the wings of eagles, and it brought you to me. Klal Yisrael suffered in Egypt their own holocaust, if you will. Slavery, bondage, murder, genocide, all these things. And the Ibn Hashem says, you saw what I did to Mitzrayim. What did Hashem do to Mitzrayim? Okay, the Makos, ending in Makos Bechayrus, and then they saw Kriyas Yamsof. They saw the total destruction of the strongest nation in the world. Why? Because what they did to Bnei Yisrael. And I took you out. I can't finish her. The Bnei Yisrael is telling Bnei Yisrael, you witnessed how I took care of you. You saw the Kvitzas HaDerech, how quickly we left. You saw how I protected you when they were shooting catapults at you by the Yam, and the clouds absorbed it and nothing harmed you. You saw all of that. See, Ibn Hashem was telling Klal Yisrael, what did you see? You saw that I care about you. You saw that I take care of you. You saw that I saved you. And if you accept the Torah, you'll be for me, my master, my college, and so on. Klal Yisrael's accepting the Torah, Nasa v'nishma, was essentially an expression of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Ibn Hashem cares about me, and the Ibn Hashem takes care of me, the Ibn Hashem is not going to give me commandments that aren't good for me. When there's someone you don't trust, and they're going to say, will you do whatever I tell you to do? He may tell you to do something crazy. You can't accept such a thing. Yeah, how would you know to accept what to do if you don't know what he's going to tell you, if you don't trust him? If you trust, what am I worried about? What's he going to tell me to do already? Whatever it is, I'm sure it's good for me. The Gemara says, in the time of the Gemara, that the Sadukim said, how you crazy people, you go ahead and say you'll do something without knowing what you're going to do. How do you see Nasa v'nishma before knowing what you're getting involved in? And the answer is, it's a Kabbalah question. No one should accept anything. Someone says, sign this paper. You got to read it first. You don't sign a document until you read it. But what if the person who tells you to sign it is someone who you know cares about you, stands up to defend you, protects you? You're going to sit there and scrutinize it first? I'm not going to sign it until I read what it is. If you totally, completely trust this person, of course you sign it. What are you worried about? It's all a matter of ahava. It's a matter of trust. It's a relationship. And that's what Ibn Hashem says to Klal Yisrael. Tell Bnei Yisrael, tell the women, tell the men, you saw what happened in Egypt. You saw how I took you out. You saw how I protected you. You saw how I saved you. At that point, Klal Yisrael, trust me, Bnei Yisrael, for sure. We'll take it. Nasa v'nishma. What am I worried about? What am I afraid of? This is the essence of Kabbalah Satara. The essence of Kabbalah Satara is understanding that Ibn Hashem loves us. Ibn Hashem cares about us. And of course, what am I worried about? He's not going to give me something to do that I can't do. I believe the Yeshiva bemoaned the fact that how can it be that children come out of our school systems and don't understand this point? You ask a kid who graduates from Yeshiva Rabbi Yaakov, why do we keep the Torah? Are they going to say, because Hashem loves us and therefore we are willing to do whatever he says? He felt that is a point every child, every yid has to know. Every yid has to know. We accept the Torah because the Ibn Hashem loves us. Nasiv and Nishma is because the Ibn Hashem loves us. Kabbalah said Torah is because the Ibn Hashem loves us. Because otherwise, how do you do such a thing? You're going to accept blindly to do whatever? You only do that if there's trust. You only do that if you have bitachon. And you have trust in someone who you know takes care of you and cares about you and is not going to hurt you. And that's what was established by Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was established by Yetzias Mitzrayim. So following Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Satara is not a difficult thing. So when we learn Rus, who was Makabel Yahadus and Taira, and she was impoverished, and she was widowed, and she was a Giyaris, and the Medrash says, you have to know that Kabbalah Satara comes with Yisurin, and comes with Oni. I don't think it means to say, Chas V'Shalom, that, yep, if you accepted the Torah, you know life is going to be bad. That's not what it means. It's not what it means at all. The Torah is only good for us. I believe what the message is, and it's clear from the continuation of the Medrash, if you think that you will embrace Torah and grow in Torah, living in the lap of luxury, sitting back in the hammock, sipping on an iced tea, you missed the boat. It's not going to happen. You have to be willing to accept Pas b'melech teichel, mind b'mesura tishta, ala aretz tishan. It doesn't mean you have to physically do these things, eat bread and water and salt. And it means you have to understand that luxuries and excesses interfere with Kabbalah Satar. These things that are unnecessary are distractions. They interfere. And the Gemara is replete with many places how to serve a Kaddish Baruch, we're always better off with less than with more. And the Bnei Aniyim are the biggest Tamidei Chachamim. It's other things interfere with your relationship with the Kaddish Baruch. You don't need things. You could be in the Midbar with nothing. What did the Bnei Yisrael have already in the Midbar? And they were very close to Kaddish Baruch. I think that's what the message is. We read Rus on Shavuos to remind us that it's time to Kabbalah Satara, and we're makabel the Torah, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu loves us, and the Baruch Hashem is good to us, and obviously the Torah is going to be good for us. It's the best thing in the world. There's nothing better than Torah. And it's great for us. And we don't have to know all the details. I trust the Ribbono Shel Olam implicitly, explicitly. I could accept the Torah Nas of Nishma without question. What I have to know, though, is that if I intend to live a luxurious creature comfort lifestyle that is inconsistent with growth in Torah and getting close to Kaddish Baruch Hu, those kind of things, those excesses interfere. They get in the way. And it's important to know that. So once a year, comes Kabbalah Satar, comes down to Mashuas, we read Megillas Rus, and remind us of what are the important things to be a Makabel Torah, Makabel Ol Torah, and that's ultimately the point of the mission of Kabbalah Ol Torah. Once you Makabel Ol Torah, everything else falls away. Kabbalah Ol Torah is a responsibility. It's accepting not just to learn, but to make sure Torah endures, to make Torah passed on to the next generation. All of this is the concept of Kabbalah Satara and the Yontav of Shuas, when we're supposed to renew that Kabbalah. And part of renewing that Kabbalah is just to re-examine our lifestyle to make sure we're not doing things that interfere with that Kabbalah. And that's where I think Megillas Rus comes in. It's not a selling point. You're not going to sell anyone on Torah by saying, you know, it's a tough life to be someone who's holding a Torah. That's not the point. The selling point of Torah is the Ribbono Shel Olam did everything for us, so of course I want the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. What's the Shiloh? There's no question about that. If you want to grow in Torah and you want to excel in Torah, then you have to realize that physical things, creature comforts and the like, that's not going to help. That's not going to help along the way. Now, this isn't promoting abject poverty, because when someone is impoverished, they can't learn Torah either. Chazon Ish writes in his letters, stay far away from poverty. We're not endorsing being impoverished. We're just saying that when a person is makabel ol Torah, part of that is to accept that he doesn't need a lot of things, and he can learn Torah better sitting on a bench in a Beis Medrash than sitting in a lounge chair holding onto a Coca-Cola in his den. You want to accomplish in learning, get out of your lounge chair, put down your pop, go to Beis Medrash, and sit in a room and learn. That's the concept. That coming with ol Torah is without these extras. That's, I think, the message of Megillas Rus.